This past week, I was moved by a photo or a couple of photos side by side that I saw. You know, sometimes you see things, you encounter things, and for whatever reason, maybe it hits you in a weak moment or whatever, but it seems to impact you more in that moment. This was two pictures. The first one was a scene of school children praying in a public school. There they were with hands folded, black and white picture. I discovered that the picture was taken in 1959, so around my birthday. There they were, and the teacher in the background with her head lowered, they were praying. It's a beautiful picture. Alongside the picture was what's called the drag queen story hour, story time. And this particular drag queen had like six horns coming out of, I don't know what you're supposed to say, his or her head, right? And in the foreground were little children, you know, little children, you know, on their knees, you know, looking up as the story was being told. I just stood stunned for just a few minutes. And I think my eyes even started to well up in that moment. And I said to myself, look how far we've gone, or look how deeply evil we become in just my lifetime. How did we get here? You know, and that's just one scene. You could pick a number of scenes. And just then, it was like within the hour, a friend of mine from out east sent an email out, and he quoted Archbishop or Venerable Fulton Sheen, and it's actually a quote I used in a previous article that had the video of Matt Walsh in it, but he reminded me of it, and so I want to share it with you now. Venerable Fulton Sheen was trying to sound the alarm. This was actually written by him, or said by him, right about the time those children in 1959 were praying. Yet he saw it coming even then. And so he tried to sound the alarm, but he also said, he also told us how evil advances. And here's what he said. Why is it that so few realize the seriousness of our present crisis? Partly because men do not want to believe their own times are wicked. Partly because it involves too much self-accusation. And principally because they have no standards outside of themselves by which to measure their times. Only those who live by faith really know what is happening in the world. The great masses without faith are unconscious of the destructive processes going on. There it is, isn't it? The great masses without faith are unconscious of the destructive processes going on. Isn't that what's happening? As our culture becomes more and more disengaged or disconnected from the divine, from God, they can't see any longer. You know why? Because we have two choices. We can live as supernaturally empowered children of God, or we can live as animals. Mere Homo sapiens. And so, when we live as mere Homo sapiens, well, then anything's okay. Do what comes natural, or from the satanic Bible that says, do what thou wilt. Do what you want. Do what you want. As long as you're not killing somebody to do it. Except at times, that's even on the table. Abortion. Right? Do what thou wilt. Because we're just Homo sapiens. That's all. We've lost the eyes to see as a culture. St. Paul in his letter to Timothy would put it this way. The unspiritual man does not receive the gifts of the Spirit of God, like wisdom and understanding, right? Does not receive the gifts of wisdom, the gifts of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You and your religion. You fanatics. Right? And we're getting dismissed. We're being pushed to the margins. We're the fanatics any longer, aren't we? And a lot of people don't want to be seen as fanatics. And so they cave. And so they join the radical secular culture. They turn in their supernaturally empowered child of God card and leave themselves as Homo sapiens. We're just animals. So what? Let me be an animal. And so we see the degradation of our culture before our eyes. Fulton Sheen would say, when things seem catastrophic, it's a sign that God is up to something here. He's allowing it. You know, I was listening, after I watched that, saw those two images together, I did go back and I watched Matt Walsh's talk. I'll put it up online later today, and so you can see it if you haven't, or you can see it again. It's amazing. But he's basically calling attention to this. You know, he starts out his talk, he's talking about, look at the people like in Afghanistan and other parts of the world. And he showed a story of people on a retreat to a monastery. They're on a bus. They're pulled over by Muslims. Are you a Christian? Life or death, answering that question. Yes, I am. They gave him one last question. Will you renounce that and turn to Islamic faith? One last chance before we pull the trigger. And they said no. But our culture seems to renounce its faith because I'm too busy, or I want more comforts, or I just can't be bothered. God is shoved low on the totem pole of priorities in our lives. His mission, his desire to send us out, his calling to be a light in the world. How many times, how many elections have we had where the vast majority of Catholics voted like the Homo sapiens did? Allowing this culture of death to persist. Matt's talk. Satan's plan for Christian America, don't awaken their courage. I look out at all of you and I see that you have been awakened. Woke, huh? As they say, right? It's horrifying, isn't it? What can we do? What can we do? Well, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you, because we're in this together. We're about to march with 50,000 people in 3 weeks. Calling out to God, asking for His power and believing in that power to change our culture. Cardinal Burke's coming here in December. Dr. Janet Smith in September. Don't tell anyone, but we're in talks to get Dr. Taylor Marshall here in the spring. You're working hard. We're doing our best. We're holding together. That's a big one. You know, how does Satan want to destroy something? Well, get him to be divided, right? Get him attacking each other. We're strong. We got to remain strong. We believe in the supernatural power of God. You know what happens? Venerable Fulton Sheen said, here's what happens when we stop doing that. God will not allow unrighteousness to become eternal. Revolution, disintegration, chaos must be reminders that our thinking has been wrong. Our dreams have been unholy. Moral truth is vindicated by the ruin that follows when it has been repudiated. The chaos of our times is the strongest negative argument that could ever be advanced by Christianity. The disintegration following an abandonment of God thus becomes a triumph of meaning, a reaffirmation of purpose. Adversity is the expression of God's condemnation of evil, the registering of divine judgment. Catastrophe reveals that evil is self-defeating. We cannot turn from God without hurting ourselves. Look at the story that we just heard in the gospel. A man was heading down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Everybody in those times understood what that meant. Jerusalem is a holy city. He was leaving it. He was turning his back on it. And he was heading to the city of sin, Jericho. Catastrophe reveals that evil is self-defeating. We cannot turn from God without hurting ourselves. And so, the robbers left half dead. But here's the point that Jesus was making. A priest came by. And he went to the other side of the road, right? And passed him by. Why? Well, you're a sinner and you deserve it. You deserve what you got, you sinner. Is that our faith? Is that our religion? One of my favorite parts of being a priest is when someone comes to me in the confessional and says, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been 10 years, 20 years since my last confession. I'm just like, awesome. Or I could say, what the heck have you been away for 10, 20 years for? Right? No, it's not what we do. We bind their wounds. We heal them. We take care of them. We're not condoning their sin. That's not what this is all about. Well, people want to try to twist Scripture into that. Oh, he dined with sinners. Guess he's cool with sin. No. He got in their company to try to get them back on the right path. Go up to Jerusalem away from Jericho. The time is now. You see, my brothers and sisters, that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. We pray hard. We ask God to inspire our speech. We let our lives be a living witness that we have found purpose. We have found meaning. We have found The reason, the raison d'être in French, the reason for being, is to live not for ourselves, but for each other. That's a perfect world. That's heaven on earth. They passed him by on the other side. I got to get to Mass or whatever, temple. The Levite. But the Samaritan was moved with compassion. I found that, when I was a younger kid, I'd see suffering and I'd go, oh, that's a shame. But as I get closer and closer to God throughout my years, as my relationship gets closer, I look at suffering and go, I don't know how many times I'm a big old football player and I bawl a lot. Just see the suffering. You got to do something, anything. I know, let's get 50,000 people together. Let's go all in. Let's do whatever we can here at St. Mary's, this paradise on earth, to build up the people of God and to be a bright, shining light, to become strong ourselves in our own spiritual lives, to become strong ourselves as a family of God, to let that be in a lampstand to shine for the world to see. There's a lot we can do. There's a lot we can do. I can't stand suffering. Our culture is suffering right now. But I can't sit idly by and just let it go that way. And I know you can't either. Let's get stronger personally. Let's get stronger as a family of God. Let's ask God, God, what do you want me to do? What's my reason for being? What talents have you given me? How can I build up this family? How can I make the world a better place? We're not just Homo sapiens. We're supernatural children of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.